Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning. How is everybody today? All right, it's great to see each and every one of you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway, and we're just so thankful that you are in service with us here this morning. I do have one announcement. We're going to be talking about this in just a minute, but in your service guide is a card that looks just like this. This is our Legacy 19, 2019, Summer of 19 commitment card, and I just want to just let you know a couple things because I know some of you weren't here next week, but at the end of service day, we're going to be turning this in, so if you've not already filled it out and brought it with you, there's an extra copy. You can do that right now. And if you missed last week's message, there's no way I can reteach all of it. So you're going to need to go back and listen to it. But essentially, I'll try to break it down as quick as I can. We are going to be, September 8th, we're going to be relaunching the Lifeway Church. And we are going to be making some huge investments in the areas of kids ministry, production. So that's stuff like sound and lighting and signage and all kinds of different things like that. We're rebranding. And so we're going to invest about what we invested the first time when we launched the Lifeway, and that was about $50,000. And we're going to just kind of, you know, just increase and take everything up another level here. And what I wanted to say to that, now if you're a guest here, this isn't for you. This little part is for the church family here. But, you know, it's easy to hear a number like $50,000 and say, well, I can't do that. You know, skip that. I just can't do that. And I would say that's probably most of us in this room could probably all say, yeah, I can't do that. But here's the beauty of the body of Christ is when everyone just does what they can do, it's amazing what God can do through that. And so, man, even if 100 people gave $500 or even 50 families decided to give $1,000, we could reach our goal here for that. And so I just wanted to let you know that. Also, something very different about this legacy offering is typically we announce a specific date for that. But starting this week, you can bring your legacy offering anytime you want between now and the end of August, right? But we are going to ask you to turn the card in because I know some of you just have different job schedules and all of that type of thing going on. And so I just wanted to let you know about that. And so if you haven't yet filled that out, but you know, you've prayed about it and you know what God wants to do, wants you to go ahead and complete that. Like I said, this legacy offering is something that is an addition to what you would normally give. And this is just going to help us meet some needs that way. Well, let's just take a moment and give a big welcome to all of those who are listening to our message online today. We love our online audience, and we're so thankful for all of you. Well, today we are going to continue our series entitled This Is Us. This Is Us. And so my goal in this series is to really unpack for you the core purposes and the core values of our church. One evening in June, while our family was on vacation, God challenged me through a dream to clearly define the culture and vision of who He has called us to be as a local church body. And so today I'm going to teach on the subject of crazy generosity. Turn to your neighbor and say, crazy generosity. Some of you are like, crazy generosity. Come on. Crazy generosity. I know, as soon as I said that title and asked you to say it, some of you are like, man, why do I always have to come to church the week they talk about generosity? Some people tend to get kind of nervous and they'll say things like, well, man, that's why I don't go to church, because all they ever do is preach about money and they preach about giving and serving. And listen, if that's your mindset, I'm so glad you're here today because I want to help change that this morning, all right? Because this is what I believe. I believe that it is crazy that we get to be a part of the local church. And that together, it's crazy, together we get to accomplish things that change the course of eternity. How many of you are excited that God gets to use you, right? And so the way that we get to be a part of what God is doing here on earth is through generosity. And so who are we? This is us. This is us. We sacrificially bring our time, our talent, and our treasure to Jesus. That's the first blank in your service sermon outline. Go ahead, take that out, follow along with us. Is we sacrificially bring our time, our talent, and treasure to Jesus. I want you to understand that generosity is the way that we will reach and change this city. This is how we will reach the broken and the hurting and the downcast with the hope and the power of the gospel. It will happen when we become crazily generous with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. And so I want to teach this morning for a little bit. We're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew, starting chapter 21. This is actually the portion of Scripture, if you've got the little headings in your Bible, that gives a little idea of what's included. This is the part of Scripture that is referred to as Jesus' triumphant entry. And so this passage that we're going to read, in fact, just 7 days after this portion of Scripture, Jesus will go on to do the greatest thing that has ever been done in the history of the world. He's going to go to Calvary to shed his blood and die for our sins. So that's kind of the background. That's sort of the timing of when this happens. And so in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1, this is what it says. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." Now, I just want to pause there and point out the fact that it says, "Untie them." So essentially what you have here is you've got mama donkey and baby donkey. And it's interesting to me that as we read this, since this was Jesus' triumphant entry, you would think that he'd ask for something that was big, you know, something that was bold, something that would make a splash and a huge statement. But he simply sends out these two disciples and he says, when you see the big donkey and when you see the little donkey, I want you to untie them and bring them to me. Verse 3, if anyone says anything to you, all right, now this is Jesus sending them out, so he obviously knows that someone's going to say something to them, so he tells them in advance, if anything says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now for some reason, as I grew up in church and heard the Bible taught and in kids ministry, every time I've heard this, they always talk about one donkey. How many of you always heard about, you know, one donkey? Like, you know, in the Easter pageant, when they would do a big Easter pageant, Jesus would come, and man, if you were in a big church, they'd actually get a real donkey, and they'd bring it in the whole time the pastor was praying, please don't let that donkey poop on my carpet, you know, and they'd bring the donkey in, or in kids ministry, we'd color the pictures on Palm Sunday, and there's Jesus on a donkey just riding, but the Bible tells us that there were two of them. Two donkeys. Verse 6, then the disciples, when they did as Jesus had instructed them, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed, they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Verse 10 says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city. Everybody say the whole city. All of it, the whole city. Now, I want you to understand, this was before social media, Twitter, Instagram, you know, come get something free and everybody, no, this was before any of that existed, but the Bible says that the whole city was stirred and they asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And so what I want to do this morning is out of this story, I want to share some reasons why generosity is crazy. This story reveals to us some ways that how crazy generosity really can be. So here's the first one. It's the next blank in your outline. It's this. Number one is generosity is crazy because God asks us for something. He asks us. I want you to think about it. The fact that God has ever asked you or has ever asked me for anything is pretty crazy. It's actually remarkable. And in his story, Jesus takes the time to send two of his disciples into town to look for a big donkey and a little donkey to untie them and bring them to him. And it's crazy because Jesus didn't have to do that. Quite frankly, he didn't need to waste that time. He only had about a week left on earth to finish what God had sent him to do. And so because of the prophecy stated that Jesus would come on a donkey and on a colt, Jesus could have simply said, hey, disciples, come over here, watch this. And he could have just went, boom, right? And there's a big donkey and little, look at what I did. What do you think about that, right? And I want you to understand that in the same way today, God could just make or he could speak into existence whatever he so happens to need. Food and shelter for the homeless. Bible schools in third world countries. Programs for those addicted to drugs and alcohol. Help for victims caught in the sex trafficking industry. Tools and resources to equip the church to do more of his work. He could even provide a physical home for our church. He would just speak the word and it could be done. But the fact that God comes to people, he comes to people that he has made, he has created, and he asks to borrow things that he created is crazy. And I want you to think about it, because scripture tells us in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything. Everybody say everything. Everything in it, the world and all of its people belong to him. And so when God speaks to me about us as a church helping a new church planter who's going to be launching this fall in Racine like he did to me just a couple of weeks ago, I didn't say, wait a minute, God, you want us to give our money to this new church planter? I mean, we're trying to relaunch our own church in a couple of months. You know, we've got equipment to purchase and there are things at home that need to be taken care of. You know, I didn't say, God, I don't really know them that well. I haven't personally vetted them. I don't know how many people God are gonna show up for their first service. Listen, when you are in a relationship with the God of the universe, you don't need all of the details to be obedient. Now I'm not saying that we should be careless. We need to do our due diligence, but there are many times that we just need to have the faith to respond and say, yes, God, you want my donkeys? Then go ahead and take them. Instead of thinking, well, why me, God? Instead of thinking, well, God, can't you just use someone else? No. We should say, are you kidding me? You're asking me for some of the money that belongs to you? You're asking me to give you resources to do something that you could do without me? Listen, the fact that God comes to borrow something from us that belongs to him in the first place is absolutely crazy. Jesus could have told those disciples that day to go tell the owner, it's my big donkey and it's my little donkey. I gave them life. I put breath in their lungs. Just give them to me. But he didn't do that. He just said, tell him that the Lord needs them. Let me ask you this. What has the Lord told you that he needs in your life? When you think about it, it's crazy. Because Jesus could have come and he could have made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He could have done it with a flyover from the Blue Angels. Anybody ever here seen the Blue Angels? You know, like the earth shakes and the buildings rattle, right? I mean, even back then when there were no airplanes and no vehicles or no machines, it would have stunned everyone. I mean, imagine the ground is shaking, right? The people start freaking out. Children are crying. Adults are yelling, thinking the world is coming to an end. And then out of the noise, just picture it like Jesus comes floating down in a parachute. Hits the ground. He's like, what's up, guys? He could have come on angels. He could have come on any delivery system that he wanted to. He could have rode in on a white stallion. He could have come in on a golden adorned elephant like Prince Ali, right? But instead, he asked to use a man's big donkey and his little donkey. Jesus came into town riding low in order to be lifted high, and such is the way of the kingdom of God. Here's the second thing. Number two, the second thing that's crazy about generosity. Number two, Jesus rides into town on the generosity of ordinary people. He rides into town on the generosity of ordinary people, people just like you and people just like me. And he could have come by any means that he wanted to, but yet he decided to come and do the greatest thing that's ever been done by riding on the generosity of a guy who's got a donkey and a colt. And on this man's generosity, God said, that's how I'm choosing to make my grand entrance, to make my triumphant entry. And I want you to know this morning that this is the same way that God intends to ride into the 414, into Metro Milwaukee. He's going to do it on the generosity of his children and his people. Jesus didn't say, I need a Ferrari. No. He said, just get me a donkey. And I love this because we don't have to be rich in order for God to use us, because God always specializes in using ordinary people. I want to pause there. If you're sitting here and you've got a Mercedes-Benz, a BMW, a Tesla, a Lamborghini, all right, then go ahead and bring that to Jesus should he ask for it, all right? But if you only have a donkey, I don't want you to walk out of here and feel as if there's nothing that you can do, because it is those who are willing to be extraordinarily generous who help make the purpose and plans of God come to pass. I want you to understand that God doesn't simply appear in cities. He arrives and he enters into places on the generosity of ordinary people, and that's crazy. The Son of God, who could have arrived with more splendor, with more pomp and circumstance, with more majesty than the world has ever seen, I want you to understand, he came into town on a couple of borrowed burros. How'd you like my R there, Pedro? I tried really hard. Where are you back there? I love the fact that when Jesus arrived, the Bible tells us that the whole city was stirred. Think about it. The owner of two simple and stubborn, dumb donkeys set off a tidal wave in the city of Jerusalem. It stirred everything up. And listen, I believe that God is waiting for us as a church, us as a group of people, to get a burden for the 414 area. People who say, you know what, God, I'll go. I'll give. I'll serve. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And when that happens, God is going to stir up our entire city. And what's going to happen is people are going to begin asking, hey, who is this Jesus? What is all of this commotion going on? While preaching is important and music is important and worship services are important, and it's important that our lives are a representation of the love of Jesus. But what I want you to understand, the movement that God wants to do through our church is going to happen because of a spirit of crazy and radical generosity. Generosity is crazy because God asks us for something. Secondly, he chooses to ride into town on our generosity. Here's the third one. Number three, the next blank in your outline is this. Our generosity writes us into the story of God. Our greed writes us out of the story of God. But our generosity writes us into it. I want you to think about the owner of those donkeys that day. He could have said to the disciples, wait, you want to take, these are my donkeys. I worked hard for these donkeys, and now you want both of, you really need both? Come on, how about you just take one donkey? No, he didn't do that. He gave what the Lord asked, and he is now literally written into the story of the gospel. I want you to think about that for a moment. I'm not in the gospel. You're not in the gospel. Well, and yes, we could have been if we lived back in that time and we were willing to give what we had to Jesus. But I want you to understand that it's the little acts of our responsiveness to God's prompting in our lives that puts us and writes us into his story. I think it's crazy that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end, everything is about him. And yet he loves us so much. He loves you so much. He loves me so much that he wants to write us into his story. I mean, think about it. Think of the widow that we read about in Scripite. She just had a mite to give. It was worth about a half a penny in that day. We don't know really anything about her, but we know because of her generosity and because she gave, she is now forever a part of the story. Think about the boy who had that lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he gives them to Jesus, and we don't know anything else about him, where he's from, who his mother was, what his name was, but yet he's in the story. We know about Joseph of Arimathea, and the only reason we know about him is because he loaned Jesus a tomb. He didn't know he was loaning it at the time, but he gave it to Jesus. And I want you to think about it. This man, he didn't deserve to be in the story of the gospel, especially this part, right? Think about it. The account of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Son of God. This is Easter. This is the biggest days in the history of mankind. The most incredible thing that has ever happened, right? It should all be about Jesus. Yet featured prominently in the story is this guy named Joseph who generously said, "Here, take this tomb." God chooses to invite the people he loves into his unfolding epic story. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. I want you to understand that we don't get written into the story because we're important. We don't get written into the story because we have an amazing lineage or because of our heritage. We get written in when we allow ourselves to be available through our generosity to God. The fact that we're in the story of God is completely crazy. We read just a few minutes ago, Matthew 21:5. It says, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This prophecy was actually made by the prophet Zechariah in the year 500 BC. So over 500 years before this moment happened, Zechariah prophesied, and God said, "This is what I'm going to do on that day. This is a sign that you know that I'm going to bring something to pass." And so hundreds of years pass, and this one man's generosity fulfills God's destiny and fulfills prophecy and a promise to a city, a nation, and ultimately to all people. And I can't help but get excited and wonder about God's promise for the greater Milwaukee area, that we're going to be a part of fulfilling that which was spoken long ago. And I want you to understand that the way that it's going to be fulfilled is through our generosity. And the crazy thing is that we're going to return to God what is his, and in return, we will get written into his story. This is what I believe, that one day when we breathe our last breath and when we finish our earthly race and we go to heaven, I believe that the fruit of our lives is going to be displayed before us. All of those things that you did for Jesus that nobody else saw, all those times that you served, all those places that you gave, I believe God's going to allow the fruit of what we've done to be shown. And when we see it, we're going to be amazed at how God used our simple gifts and generosity to make a difference around the world. Here's the fourth thing that's crazy about generosity. Number four, you always get back more than you give. You always get back more than you give. I know we're not supposed to say that. Let's be real, we're all flesh and blood in this room. But if you, in a heart of kindness, submission, and generosity, give anything to God, I promise that you will get it back, because Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "Give and you will receive." Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And if you don't like what you're getting in your life today, I challenge you to take a look at what you are giving. Here's the thing, God's economy isn't like ours. When you give, it's not like, "Well, God, I put a dollar in, so I'm waiting for a dollar to come." No, it's not like that. You're going to get it back with exponential increase. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He's going to bless your lives in ways that you can't even possibly imagine. The guy in our story, he got his donkeys back. We say, well, how do you know that? Well, they didn't crucify the donkeys, all right? Just crucified Jesus. The journey Jesus took that day, historians have mapped it out, and they figured out that it probably didn't take much more than an hour or so on the donkeys. And so as I imagine this story unfolding in my mind, the owner of these donkeys simply started following the procession down the road, because if I'm giving something to someone, I want to kind of say, hey, what are they doing with this? Like, you know, I want to keep my eye on things. And so as the commotion started, it's likely he joined in and he started singing and crying out with the others, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's following us along, and then pride begins to well up because his donkeys are doing a great job. This is awesome. Jesus gets to his destination. He gets off the donkey, and I think the man just picks them up and heads back home. His mind is just swimming with the amazing scene that he just took in. He's probably walking on air. And so he gets back to the house. He ties the donkeys back up, and he runs up to the home. And he says, babe, you're not going to believe this. You know that Jesus guy? You know the guy that everybody's been talking about? You know the one who heals the sick and the one that raises the dead? The one that's been doing all of those? Yeah, that guy. Well, guess what? Little donkey and big donkey, they carried Jesus today. It was crazy. People were on the side of the road. They were singing and they were waving branches and worshiping. I don't really know all of what was going on or why, but I do know that little donkey and big donkey played a big part in the story. And immediately a feeling of satisfaction and fulfillment overcame him. While he was generous, he got his donkeys back almost immediately. And yes, I understand he didn't know that was going to happen. But for a couple of hours of use, he gets to forever be a part of God's story. And I'm telling you this morning, in much the same way, you're going to get back so much more than what you ever give to God. God is going to use your time, your talent, and your treasure to be a part of his story. So this morning, as we prepare to turn in our legacy summer commitment card, maybe for you $100 to help relaunch our church is a big step. For you, for others in this room, it might be $500, $1,000, $5,000, even $10,000. But I want you to know that you are not giving away something as much as you are opening the door for God to do a miracle in your life. And many of the people in this room who've walked with Jesus for a long time will tell you, when I've been generous, when they've been generous, I've discovered that I've always received way more than I've ever given. I may have served for 4 hours on a Sunday morning early, but because of that, my life has purpose. And so Sunday night, I get to lay my head on my pillow every Sunday, knowing that somebody met Jesus today because I served. I want you to understand, I don't have to do this. I get to do this. And when we give to God, we are simply returning to him something that he can use to do something that he could have done without us. But watch this, all of this so that we can get written into his eternal story. And when we get to heaven, I want you to know that the Bible says, even if you don't get the return here, when we get to heaven, scripture tells us that the walls will be made of jasper and the streets will be made of gold and there will be pearly gates and we're going to have mansions. Listen, it's crazy. The little bit we return to God on earth, God is going to give us infinitely more. Scripture says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard all that God is going to do for us. And so who are we as a church? We are generous. This is us. This is who we are. My favorite thing about being a pastor, and there's lots of things that I like, But when God nudges my heart and says, Andrew, I want you to fill this need for someone, and I get to write that check because we've all been faithful financially, that's my favorite thing. I've sat in giving services and literally wept with tears of joy because we get to be a blessing to other people. So don't be afraid of generosity. God's gonna bless you. His word says that I will supply all of your need. As I close this message this morning, I want you to consider the donkeys in this story. Scripture tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and I actually believe that all of creation knows their creator. And while these donkeys don't have souls, I'm not saying that, but I believe that they somehow knew that Jesus, the Lord of all creation, was riding on their backs. And I think in their ways of communication, they were looking at each other saying, do you know who's sitting on me right now? It's the lion. It's the lamb. The story is not about two donkeys, and it's really not even about a man's generosity. The story is really about the man named Jesus and his generosity to us. God gave his son, the perfect lamb, for you and for me. And here he comes. Praise him. Glory to God in the highest. Hosanna. Throw your coats on the road. Wave the branches of the trees. Worship him. This is the pinnacle moment of all time. And Jesus was thinking, you guys think this is great. You don't even know it yet. But this is special because of what I'm getting ready to do for you. I'm getting ready to give my life for you. And this morning, I don't know if you came prepared to be generous, but I know for a fact that Jesus Christ has come into this room with all of his gifts and majesty to be generous to each and every one of us today. And so if you have any need in your life, he is here right now to meet needs. You may want to come alive spiritually. You might want to put your faith in Jesus, and he will give you forgiveness and eternal life right here, right now, this morning. He came prepared to be generous. Maybe you're sitting here and you're depressed and you need to be encouraged. You may need to be lifted up. Maybe you're sitting here and you need someone to speak a word of knowledge. Listen, God came today not to take, but to give. And he loves us so much that week after week and day after day and hour after hour, he's just reaching out to give. In this moment, he's fully, fully prepared. So I want you to take out your commitment card. And I want you to ask God, how should I be generous? And through your generosity, I believe that God is going to write you into the greatest story ever told, his story, a story that never ends. And so if you've not already done it, I just want to pause. I know we normally don't do this, but just everybody real still in the auditorium right now, just close your eyes. If you've not already done this, once again, if you're a guest, this part of the service isn't for you, but for everyone who considers the Lifeway their home, I want you to pause. I want you to take this out. I just want you to ask God how he wants you to be a part. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to understand this morning that what we do for Christ will last well beyond our time on earth. Last week I announced that our worship leader, Tiffany Venegas's father, John Enjibus, had passed away. And I was able to write a letter, and I wanted to share the story with you. When I was a young boy, I was 8 or 9 years old. I've shared some of this story with you, but my parents pastored a small church in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, right on the border of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and Canada. And about a year in, the only musician that we had in this small church told my parents that they weren't coming back. It was our piano player. And because my dad had given me 6 months of, or paid for, not he had given me, but had paid for me to have 6 months of lessons. He said, well, Andrew, you have the most experience. You're playing next Sunday. And he wasn't kidding. I thought he was, but he wasn't. And so I remember going and grabbing my Target brand or Kmart brand 61 key dinky keyboard. Couldn't even play more than 7 keys at a time because it wouldn't play all the notes. And I remember going up to my room and practicing, and I pulled out this cassette tape from our home church. Some of you don't know what that is. You'll have to Google it later. And I put this tape in, and there was a song. It was the choir from my home church. And so I played this song over and over and over again, and I started by plunking one note at a time, figured that out, and then I would eventually add some chords. But that song was actually led by Tiffany's father. He sang the lead part on the song, and because I had practiced it, I don't know if it this, you know, obviously this was God's plan, but I had literally practiced through that song hundreds, if not thousands, of times. And one of the lyrics of the song says, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, God, I'll go. And that lyric really became a driving force for my life. And so why do I tell you this story? Because here we sit all of these years later, gosh, over 30 years later. John has now gone home to be with Jesus, but yet I can't tell you how often when a challenge comes my way and I think, God, I just can't do it, that melody in his voice singing that in my ear comes through and I hear it again. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open the door, God, I don't know how we're going to get there. I don't know how. I don't have the ability. But Lord, I'll still say yes. I want you to understand what we do for Christ here on earth will last well beyond our time here on earth. And as I shared this story with Tiffany and her brother Matt and Mindy, John's wife, I just shared, listen, I want you to know the life that John has led right now today. People are saying yes to Jesus every single Sunday because of a seed he planted. He didn't even know me. I was a 10-year-old little boy sitting in a bedroom one week. But because he said yes to Jesus, and he said, yes, God, you can use my time and my talents, and I'll use my gifts for you. Because of that, a little boy sitting in a bedroom up in the UP of Michigan, God was putting his word into his heart and putting into me that I will go and do whatever he called me to. Listen, what you may do, you may think that it doesn't matter, but God is going to allow fruit to come from generation to generation to generation. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I know that there are some here today and you thought, man, I came to church on a Generosity Sunday. I don't even know anything about church, man. This was the wrong week to come. No, this was the great week to come because the power of the gospel is this, that God so loved the world that he gave. It's the foundation of the gospel. If you don't like generosity, then you don't like the gospel. The foundation of what God did for us is he robed himself in flesh. He came and gave himself for us. And so if you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, but you'd love to walk out of here clean and get rid of all your sin, he'll do all that. He'll wash you white as snow. If you're ready to make that step, no one looking around, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever, ever make. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you loved me so much. You knew all of the mistakes I would make. You knew all the screw-ups, all the things. You knew how much I'd make a mess of my life, but yet you loved me enough to still come and give yourself for me. Thank you for paying the debt that I deserve. And Lord Jesus, right now, God, I make the commitment to follow you. I turn towards you. I'm not going to walk my own direction, but Lord Jesus, I turn and I look to you today. Wash us and cleanse us. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room. Lord God, and I know we live in a world, in a society that is so geared to us living for ourselves, for being selfish. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, this message isn't about just money, Lord, but it's about our time. It's about our talent. It's about using our giftings to make a difference for you. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit right now would speak to us, Lord God, and that you'd point us in the direction that we should go. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your goodness. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.